And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome to a special edition of the Athletic NBA Show. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me, I've got Sam Vecenie and Mo DeKeel. And this was supposed to be a very exciting podcast after a very exciting game. The entire arena was just, like, vibrating as Victor Wembanyama's warming up.
Yeah,
and the air was let out of the balloon so fast. It was one of the worst games I've watched, and I watched 2020 Poku, all of it. Every episode of 2020 Poku, I've watched it.
Oh, my God.
Sam, you have seen Victor Wembanyama play many times.
Yeah.
This was not what people were expecting.
No, it was not. I've never seen him like that passive, I guess. I've never really seen him play that quiet. Like, it just felt like he didn't have the kind of juice that I've seen him have before. Like, This is a guy that led a French league like team to its championship rounds,
a team that had no business going to the championship round,
right?
Too, like, he took an underdog team in that sense. And you're 100% right, passive is the best word to describe his game tonight.
It 100% is. I mean, he goes 2-for-13 from the field. For people who, you know, maybe want some context, didn't watch the game, 2-for-13 from the field, 1-for-6 from three, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. I thought his passing was actually the best part of his game outside of his rim protection tonight.
Yeah.
I think that we should actually probably note the defense was quite good. Yeah. Look, he got bailed out a lot by Charlotte, having maybe the worst summer league team I've ever watched in my life.
I'm not ready to go there yet. Like there have been history of summer league teams is another podcast.
Yeah.
But they're up there.
So I've watched them 3 times now, and like I'm not worried about Brandon Miller. Yeah. I am more worried. This is a conversation I've been having like a friend on the team side. I'm more worried that they might not have another NBA player on this team.
Yeah.
When they have 7 draft picks, I believe, on this roster. James Nnaji looked okay tonight, I thought. Bryce McGowan's looked solid. But
sure.
Yeah, this was a disappointment, especially after the highs. The crowd was going, too, because of what happened in the previous game. We had... Yeah. You know, Amen Thompson versus Scoot Henderson. Both those guys get hurt, but we get this incredible finale with Jabari Smith knocking down, what, like a 35-footer
win?
Off of like a heave pass that felt like it had no prayer.
100%.
And then it hits his hands, and it goes in, and then Tari Eason gives the Blazers the Dame wave.
That's perfect. Dame's getting ready to give the Blazers the Dame wave. This
beautiful.
Is perfect.
Yes, the arena, the entire place was packed.
Yeah.
Like, all the way to the ceiling, packed with people.
Yeah.
People were on their feet to begin the game, which doesn't really happen in summer league.
No.
And then we watched the Hornets shoot 29%, up from 19% most of the game. They have continued the tradition of finding the bricklayer in the draft with Nick Smith Jr., who was just laying bricks all night on top of James Booknight, who had a really nice dunk in the game, but then the announcer called him James Boo Knight. And it was
great.
Just like, it felt poetic.
The vibes were
sad,
bad.
The sad thing is, I never thought we were going to talk about Charlotte when I figured we were doing this podcast tonight. And it was just... The Wemby was just kind of so... The debut was so disappointing to a degree in terms of the hype. I actually didn't mind his first half. I know his shooting wasn't...
Sure.
He didn't shoot it very well in the first half. But like you touched on, Sam, his rim protection, his defense was solid. He had some great passes the Spurs could not finish.
Yeah.
And his real first play was a beautiful dime in transition.
Yep.
I thought early on he forced it, his first couple of shots and things like that. I felt, you know, when those didn't fall, you could feel it kind of going to him. He didn't let the game come to him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he tried to force it, and I think he got punished tonight for that. And I think that's kind of one of the main reasons why he was just so off. And then that third quarter, I don't know how to describe it. He was there.
Yeah.
But he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Like, that was the, you know, that's what I was like, oh, it's going to be that.
Yeah, it was weird just because, again, like we've seen him be so aggressive in other stops. Like at any time, even with Osvell last year where he was playing more of a role player role,
yeah.
He didn't look like this, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little bit confused. Like genuinely, I'll be really interested to see what he says after the game.
Yeah. 'Cause
I'm sure there will be some sort of availability that he's doing below us right now.
Yeah.
And Thomas and Mac, like literally right below us. So I think it's very possible that there might just be something up and we're going to find out about it and whatever. Because it didn't look like him, I guess, is my point tonight. Like,
yeah.
We've seen him play better than this, and we've seen him play just, like, totally different than this previously.
He hadn't seemed like somebody that would, like, fold to any kind of pressure to me, just, like, mm-hmm. being around him a little bit and watching him a little bit. But you just wonder. Like, the pressure is enormous. The expectations are enormous. And I think, like, most human beings would, like, at least, like, fold a little bit to those expectations.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, like, a human factor. I don't know if it's, like, him being in the news the last several days,
right.
being, like, a human element of this. It's, like, you wonder that. But also, like, some of it was, like, he's dribbling in transition. He's so tall that smaller guys can just, like, whip around him and find the ball.
Yeah.
But it was just how sloppy he was with it, you know.
Yeah.
And there, you know, the plays where he's trying to spin, and it didn't even feel like there were plays where it was the defense. He just lost the ball.
Sure.
There were times where he tried to force it, tried to attack three guys at once,
yeah.
and whatnot. And I think the other thing, too, that kind of made this a little bit hard for Victor in this sense was it's kind of a credit to the Spurs in a funny way, was they just ran their offense.
Yeah.
They weren't trying to showcase him.
No. Yeah.
They weren't trying to put him on the pedestal.
First play of the game was a screen assist
right.
from Victor Wembanyama. Yeah.
I mean, like, but all of it, like, throughout the entire night was, hey, we're running our offense. You'll get your stuff from there. They didn't force post-ups. They didn't force a lot of different opportunities for him in that sense. And I'd be curious to kind of see how he's going to get used to that. But that's how the Spurs are going to want to play. And I think that was an interesting thing in this game. And I think that's part of the challenge, too, for him in Summer League.
Yeah.
Again, like, I do want to say here that the Spurs did a phenomenal job defensively in this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And held Charlotte to 29% from the field. I think that I'm looking at the numbers here. They shot 18 of 45 from two-point range, which is, like, a ridiculous number. And I think that goes to show the way that Victor Wembanyama's just length and size and mobility genuinely just, like, changes the geometry of a basketball game.
How many blocks did he finish with?
Five.
Five?
Is that?
Yeah.
I mean, but he altered so many more.
Yes.
Like, there was an element where it was just, he was,
oh,
he's so tall, guys. He's like, at the end of the day, he's just a big guy.
No, it is. Like, it genuinely alters the geometry of a basketball court. Having somebody that big, that long out on the court, and just his presence helped them win. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he played well. He didn't. He shot 2 of 13 from the field and was a disaster on offense.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think on some level the Hornets did a reasonable job of, like, sending an early double into a driving lane, sending help toward him, shading guys toward his side of the court when they tried to get him in empty actions. Like, I think that, look, we don't want to give too much credit to the Hornets here. They were a mess in so many regards tonight. But
29, 15, 65 shooting splits.
Well, you know,
I love those numbers.
Sometimes you got to get to 90. You know, that's the goal, right? Not 180. We want to be 90 shooters, right?
Yeah.
No, look, like, I think that they did a good job making it harder for Vic, but Vic, you know, had an air ball tonight on a three.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, it just didn't look like him on offense.
We also got to just chill. Like, I know we're disappointed with what we were hoping we were going to get tonight, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
We almost thought we were getting, like, a coronation of some sort for at least the summer.
Sure.
Right? And I think it's just also a matter of, like, all right, it didn't work out that way. Doesn't mean he's a bust. Like, I know there's going to be the segment of the population
Folks,
that wants to go there.
Is Victor Wembanyama bad at basketball?
Yes. Done.
Folks.
Done.
Can Victor Wembanyama overcome the disappointment of a bad summer league debut?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get that, you know. And I think that's just my thing. It's just, like, everybody relax. Like,
I mean, people start, he's too skinny. Maybe is he too tall?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to start hearing that. Which is, I agree.
Pump
it's
the brakes.
It's one game.
It's a summer league
one game.
Yeah,
pump the brakes.
And there's so much more information that we have that says, like, yes, he's very good.
Correct.
So we should chill on that. Also, I think if they just played an opponent that had a little bit more juice, it might have been a more fun game.
So are you saying that Sunday, when it Scoot versus Wemby, we might get a little bit more...
Well, Scoot's not going to play, I assume.
I don't know what the shoulder injury looks like, to be honest.
I hope he does. Without that, I mean, Shaedon Sharpe was really fun tonight.
Until he shot them out of the game.
But he was more fun than the entire Hornets roster combined.
Shaedon Sharpe is good at basketball on some level.
He's very good at basketball. Can't compare him to Charlotte. Charlotte's bad. He literally called it the worst summer league team we've ever had. And you're going to be
bad summer league team.
I'm just saying that I would have liked to have another team that had some juice on the other side.
But that's a fair point, too. Yeah. In that regard, and I think, you know, like, hey, man, I mean, I think, but that's part of it, too, is there are going to be nights in the NBA.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing a team that doesn't have juice. Are you going to bring it, or do you play to your level of competition? I don't think that's the case with Victor. I think the moment got to him, to be honest with you, and I think he put too much on himself.
I don't know. It's hard. It's possible, but, like, again, that's why I want to hear what he says after the game more than anything. Like, I'm just, like, genuinely curious to hear what his opinion on, like, his last 24 hours has looked like. He almost had an international incident because Britney Spears, like, tried to go up and, like, tap him on the shoulder. I mean...
I was shocked she could reach the shoulder.
Yeah, I mean...
I just can't even believe those sentences are real.
It's an NBA Mad Lib, like, what happened here.
What is going on here? My wife was reading me the story in the car, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, that can't be real.
Yeah.
Is that ChatGPT? Like, what's going on here?
It might be. We might be living a simulation.
I mean, it feels like
I was watching The Matrix on my flight here, so maybe
there you go.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill You Might Win Some But You Just Lost One trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Let's talk a little bit about that Blazers-Rockets game, which was very exciting, very fun. That featured lots of really good young players. Jabari Smith Jr.
Yeah.
In the second half was just an absolute monster. He finished with 33, 7 and 2,
yep.
3 of 8 from 3, 8 of 18 overall, 14 of 17 from the free throw
That's
line,
amazing.
And had the game-winning 3. We mentioned it earlier. That just it felt impossible. It just didn't feel like it was going to happen, and then it did, and the crowd just boom, just erupts. Yeah.
Can we talk about the play that led to this game-winning 3?
We can.
Just, you know, Portland has the ball. They're up 2. They break the full-court press, and they throw a terrible lob. Not even like, hey, it was a wide-open lob, which I would probably be supportive of if it was a wide-open lob, but it was like a lob in traffic.
It was very summer league.
All the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also thought that the Rockets blew it. Because they get the rebound or the turnover, and before they call a timeout, they take a dribble, which means they can advance the ball on top of that. And I'm just like, oh, 0.6 seconds. You guys, like, good luck. And then it was Tari Eason the inbounder?
Mo is so offended right now by what just happened here.
Oh, Summer League's tough for me. Summer League is very difficult for me just on that point alone of, like, it is bad basketball a lot of the time.
And this game was not bad, though.
This game was fun. This
game
was a lot of fun.
This was one of the most fun Summer League games.
It was chaotic. It was fun. So many dunks. It was really fun.
But it was Tari Eason inbounding, right? Was it?
I believe it was. That sounds
right. I'm telling you, and I should know because it was right in front of me, but I'm telling you, it literally looked like he's like, almost 5 second count. Here's a bomb. Like he just threw a hook and just, hey.
Honestly, yeah. I was kind of trying to figure out if that was like planned. I kind of think it might have been because like you saw, like Jabari kind of ran off of like an action a little bit there. And I kind of thought that like he was like trying to fake it and then threw that like hook pass purposefully maybe. Maybe I'm giving it too much credit.
I don't know.
Like,
I think you're giving it a little too much credit. But if it was planned, damn, that's unbelievable.
No, yeah, that's it. But
I thought Portland actually did a good job defending the inbounder, making it hard. And then Jabari just hits an unbelievable shot.
So good.
This is the Jabari Smith, like, in the second half today. I didn't think he was very good in the first half.
Oh, either, I thought he was awful. Yes. I was worried.
Yeah.
Straight up bad, yeah.
And you saw in the second half, the perfectly idealized version of what people thought Jabari Smith was going to be coming into the draft last year, this 6'10" shot maker. And what I really loved about it was the way that Houston got him in spots that are advantageous for him.
Yeah.
They got him like elbow touches where he can just elevate and shoot over the top with that high release point. They got him the ball in the wing where he's able to just shoot over the top from three, knock down shots off the catch. They ran stuff for him. Like, you know, last year there was obviously that story that caused an uproar in, I think it was ESPN, if I remember correctly, talking about how Jabari Smith did not have plays run for him last year by Steven Silas.
Yep.
And it was good to see them run plays for him.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was actually the key of what made this work today.
I mean, he needs plays run for him, but it wasn't just him, though. I thought Cam Whitmore was good in this game.
Yep.
I thought Tari Eason,
Eason was
very
good.
Like, you know, like I thought I was kind of just watching this Rockets team. I go, like, this might be the Summer League champs.
If I were a Rockets fan, I would have two feelings. One, feeling really good about these young guys. Feeling number two, why are we paying Dylan Brooks $20 million to come on to this team with these guys and to take shots from those guys?
What? I'm with it, but like
you're almost more stressed than me watching a Summer League game.
It's kind of maddening to me because you have these guys that are ready to take a little bit more and probably need more developmental time. They need more shots. They need more opportunities.
And this is the thing with I didn't like the Dylan Brooks signing. If you listen to my podcast, you know, I think that people understand that I'm not a huge fan of that signing.
Yeah.
But I think that the reason I didn't love it more than anything else is that Tari Eason is good.
Yeah.
Like, Tari Eason is just genuinely good.
Yeah.
And I think that if he continues to showcase that improvement off the catch that we saw today, where he was just comfortable and confident, being willing to fire that thing.
Yep.
Like, he was ready. He was ready to go. And if he's willing to do that, I think it's a big piece of them having depth at the end of the day now because of Dylan Brooks, but I felt like he could have just slid into the role they want Dylan Brooks to play this year. And
yes,
like Tari Eason's good at basketball.
We should talk about the Blazers though, because Scoot was so good.
Yeah, he was.
Scoot was so
good. He's unbelievable.
I mean, I'm watching him going like, oh God, he's already got the feet. Like, it's over. Like, I was just like, listen, I was like, Portland, just trade Dame for a bag of potato chips. Just get all, just give all the minutes.
Yeah.
To Scoot at this point, like he is ready to roll. Him with Sharp, Simon's coming off the bench. You don't even need to worry at this point. Like, just move Dame, make the action happen, get it to Scoot, and let it go because he will deliver. I was very impressed with him in the first half.
Yeah, his pace, the way that he controls the game on both ends, I think he's ready to go, and I agree. I mean, this is a blessing for the Blazers.
Yep.
They basically have, like, stealth tanked to getting two good players.
It was a stealth. Portland Trailblazers were terrible to watch for the second half of the season for 2 years in a row.
But you know what I mean? Like, they didn't tear apart their roster.
Yeah.
And they now have this opportunity to where I think all they need to get back is picks. Like, they don't need to go get a young player in this deal. Like, just if you could just bleed somebody dry of all their picks and get back expirings. Like, you have the young players on your roster right now to develop.
Yeah, I would still like to get players.
I just don't think the picks are there anymore. I don't think teams are going to give up.
That may be true. That's five picks and like three swaps might be done.
I mean,
people
are like, "Oh, Rudy Gobert." Nobody else wants to make the Rudy Gobert trade. Like, honestly, like that's the stuff.
If you could get the Nets to bite,
here's my thing, and this is why I don't think Dame makes the Nets a championship team.
I don't care.
But I think that's also the Nets thinking.
Maybe. I'm just saying, if they did want Dame, and they just asked for picks.
Yeah, they can get it. Same for Utah. Utah can give them a whole ton of picks.
Yeah, but like, why are we doing this if you're those teams? Truly,
that's
like,
my
why?
Point.
Like, that's
I
the
don't
thing.
Know.
Like, you just, if you're Utah, you have all these picks. You have interesting young players. Like, Damian Lillard's probably not going to be ecstatic about going there, given all the reporting that is coming from Chris Haynes. So, I think that you just kind of have to figure out a way to make it work with Miami and a third team at the end of the day.
Yeah, probably
so. That's the most likely outcome to me, but I would keep trying, with other teams.
Even if you lose this trade, you're fine because you already got the guys. Because normally the way this works out for teams, right, when we have to trade our star player, we're going to be awful next year.
Well, this is what's happening with the Wizards, sort of. The Wizards did sign Kyle Kuzma, but obviously they look like a team that probably wins under 25 games next year.
Yeah.
But now, for them, they already have their young star prospect in Scoop.
Yeah.
They already have it in Shaedon Sharpe. You know, Simons is already a guy. Like, in my opinion, they're almost ahead of the rebuild in that sense. And they have those guys. So, like, that's really the story with them. But we also got to talk a little bit about how the fact that both Thompson and Henderson left the game with injuries.
Yeah, that was a bummer.
That part sucked.
That sucked. Both of them are awesome.
Like, Thompson was great. We didn't talk about him.
Thompson looked awesome.
He looked awesome. He did everything that you would want him to. Like, he was awesome as a passer. He made incredible passing reads all across the court on drop-offs, little dump-offs. He hit a cross-corner kick that was absolutely filthy.
Right. Yep.
Like, he was really, really good.
I thought
he was great tonight. He made a three from the top of the key, then sprained his ankle and went out. Scoot, like you guys said, like the way he dictated the game, that's the thing that I've loved about him from the jump and why I think he's – I didn't understand all the hand-wringing about, like, is he a great passer? Like, can he do this? Can he do that? He just knows how to play. Like, he knows how to dictate the tempo. He knows how to, like, get through any sort of, you know, advanced action in ball screens. Like, he'll take a step up. Like, he knows how to maneuver his body in a very high level. He's built like a linebacker or a running back.
Yep.
When he tucks the ball, like, to get to the basket in order to protect it, he literally looks like a running back or a linebacker out there with the way that he can just put force on the basket and force on the paint. So, I think he was spectacular tonight.
Yeah.
Like, answered every question I hope that people had outside of maybe the shooting. Like, I guess that he got a little bit cold there near the end, and I think he ended up 5 for 13. But, like, Scoot's awesome.
I know you said Brandon Miller will be fine, but if I'm a Charlotte fan, I'm very annoyed now.
It's like Michael Jordan's parting gift.
Yeah,
to Charlotte fans.
He's gonna be fine. That dude's gonna be good.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the
Bassini's over here like,
I've been saying.
I mean, I don't mean to be rude.
Like, I've been here on this block for like months.
I will never understand why Scoot went third and not two. And I get it, the whole matching of skills and all of, you know, whatever, overlap. At this point, it doesn't make sense to this day and age the way the NBA is played. Yeah. I wouldn't have worried about it. And I think they really put themselves in an interesting spot.
I agree. Yeah. I don't want to, like, you know, shit on Brandon Miller. Like, Brandon Miller is fine.
Yeah,
he had some moments. He is really skinny. Mm-hmm. Like, that really shows up on the court
in a big way
with other NBA type of guys. At a disadvantage there.
Totally. Like, the lack of strength through his lower half, particularly.
Yeah.
Like, he's okay, and he's not strong in his upper body, but, like, it's the lower half. Like, he doesn't have any strength through his legs and torso right now, and he can just get knocked off his line on drives. And honestly, like, the three-point shot, like, he ends up short on a lot of his threes right now as well, which, you know, coming off of, what, probably three games in six days?
Yeah, something like that. Normal NBA schedule.
Like, it might be a minute for Brandon. Brandon's going to be fine, but, like, I think they should have taken Scoot, but, you know, this isn't just me reacting to...
This is what we've been saying.
...one summer league game. This is me, like, being on this, you know, on this road for, God, you know, 6 months now, I guess. Right. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to this special edition of the Athletic NBA Show live from Las Vegas. We'll have more content coming to you guys all week here in Vegas. So stay locked in to The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.